I'd just like to say what a great show that was. Another great show from Rick Simpson. He's always full of so much information. It's always really nice to listen to. And it's just amazing. It's amazing that everyone's not doing it, really. That's what I find so difficult to believe about it sometimes, is that so many people still dying and they needn't be. Such an amazing man.
Yeah, the guy's like an encyclopedia on cannabis, man. He just knows so much. He's definitely done his homework when he's looked at all these studies and everything. He's just mental.
Well, each time he does a show, I learn two or three more things. And I thought I knew a little bit about it.
I've just bought a hemp jacket.
Interesting as well, just talking about all the other things as well. You make amazing rope with hemp, can't you? Really good rope, because it's one of them materials that gets stronger and stronger when it's used. And like for a t-shirt or something, the more you wash it, it gets softer. So it's just ideal for so many things, and really strong, amazing plant.
Yeah, I'm wearing a hemp t-shirt at the moment. It's one of my favourite t-shirts. It feels a bit rough, but I like to say that I've washed it and it's getting softer. But compared to the t-shirts, I think it's going to get last a lot longer.
Every single ship on the planet had hemp rope as its rigging before they invented engines. And even now they use often for anchor ropes, though not so much in the Western world, because most of the ropes are nylon. But if you go to places like Bangladesh and etc., they still try and use hemp ropes because they know they last longer.
Yeah, and they used to make the ship log out of hemp paper as well, didn't they? And they still make money out of paper, I've got told, to this day, because if you put it in the washing machine in your jean pocket or something, it comes out and it's still intact. It's not like a bit of paper. It's waterproof, and that's why they use it for the ship log. So once upon a time, loads of things were used for it in maritime stuff.
Yeah, I don't.
What happened to all our learning?
An odd fact that a lot of people miss was the old rag and bone man. Everyone knows that he used to collect the bones to make glue. That used to go to the glue factory, but the rags were used and mashed down and made into paper.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I mean, there was a time when very little was ever wasted. It just seems ridiculous that we got into a dust cart and landfill culture, really.
One of the only times I've actually watched TV, and it was on in recent times, it was on a Victorian household, and I can't remember everything, but there was even the bits out of their fire, you know, after they've had a fire, the servants would have to go through and take out all the bits of charcoal or something like that. I can't remember the exact details of what they was getting out of there, but it was, they reused everything. Nothing went to waste. Vegetable peels, nothing at all went to waste in those days. It's amazing how much things have changed. It's so much stuff is just totally disposable these days. You just use them once, even knives and forks, plastic knives and forks. People just use them once and get them and throw away. But that's another thing that can be made out of hemp, isn't it? Plastic.
Yeah, I hear you can make plastic out of it, Sarah. It's biodegradable as well.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm just actually trying to figure out how many uses do you think hemp actually has got. Is it an infinite number of different uses?
Yeah. It's got to be unlimited, hasn't it, really? Because you could just keep making it into more and more different things. Houses, cars, fuel, clothing. I mean, I've got a pair of hemp trousers and a shirt that's over 15 years old. And it's a really nice material. You never have to iron it. Don't get any creases in it.
I use hemp shampoo and conditioner, and I've used hemp face creams. Lip balms.
Well, hemp cream's supposed to be one of the best ones for hard skin.
The way you're saying how you use this herb, you know, for your own personal health, made me think of a little article I read just the other day where this woman in, I think it was New Mexico, was growing lots of herbs to help all the various ailments that she had in her backyard. And the city planners, I forget what city it was, in fact New Mexico may not even be right, But the city planners sent round an environmental team and totally ripped out every single plant. Not only, you know, in a front yard, a backyard, everything. Devastated the whole lot. And they cited city planning laws where no plant should be over 12 inches tall, etc. And in actual fact, in their own planning laws, it says that if a plant is for your own consumption, human consumption, it can be bigger than that. And they were deliberately preventing her being able to help herself with herbs. And that's about the fifth or sixth case in America very recently.
I've just read as well that hemp's used to decontaminate soil, and it was used after the Chernobyl disaster to help clear the soil. I'm not sure of the exact details of it, but it was used in the Chernobyl disaster.
It's used on in a lot of areas as well. If you have finished a landfill and you use hemp and sunflowers, they purify all the soil on top of it.
Yeah, it says as well, because it's a fast-growing plant as well. It is a very fast-growing plant, isn't it? It doesn't, like, it's a weed, that they call it weed, because it is like, it does grow like a weed. It's a really hardy plant.
Oh, yeah, very little eats it, and very little attacks it, and the ground underneath it, the plant itself puts nitrogen in. So it puts more fertilizer into the soil than it takes out.
Yeah.
I mean, how good's that for a plant?
It's amazing, isn't it? And another thing that that we've forgotten to mention that is food. The actual hemp oil, not the Rick Simpson oil, but the other oil, if you have a teaspoon or a tablespoon of that every day, it provides all your minerals and everything that you need. And the seeds, like, sprinkled over salads, or I cooked them in mashed potato and then baked it in the oven on top and had it all nice and crispy with cheese, and that was gorgeous. They're a bit crunchy, but they're so good for you as well. And beer. Yeah.
Gruel. Did everybody know that gruel was hemp seed stew?
Wow. It's so delicious.
That's where the difference is, that everyone should realise that hemp oil, the stuff that you can go and buy in shops easily, is made from the seeds and only from the seeds, whereas cannabis oil, I mean, that's how I find it easier to describe the two. One is cannabis, the other is hemp. Cannabis oil comes from the THC.
Comes from the bud.
Yeah, the THC crystals.
Yeah, so the hemp's only really what we talk, when we talk hemp, in our terms, obviously, it must be a different upbringing in Canada. When we talk hemp, we're talking about the stems and the stalks more than what is the tops. Because obviously, you see, well, hemp seed oil, obviously from the hemp, so we get rake seed oil from the rake field.
Well, it's the actual plant that's used for rope paper is very different to the plant that's used for smoking and producing medicinal cannabis oil. There's no THC in hemp itself.
Yeah, hello, I was just saying about the benefits of hemp seed oil, not the Rick Simpson oil. Obviously, we all know the benefits of that as well from the show, the cancer and everything. But the hemp seed oil that you buy from the shops, it's got omega-3 and omega-6 in it, as well as fatty acids, or EFAs, as well as gamma-linolenic acid, which are all really good for you, which makes it actually brilliant just to use on your salads, more so than cooking, because it keeps more of its properties when you're cooking. And then a tablespoon of that a day is a bit like having cod liver oil or something like that. It's really, really amazing. The whole plant is just an amazing plant, and it has to be brought back into production for all of our benefits and the benefit of the environment.
Was it not Buddha? He lived on hemp seed alone for, what was it, 3 months or something? I can't remember. Somebody might have the info on that. But yeah, he lived alone on hemp seed oil for a substantial amount of time, according to the writing. You're all Googling that now, are you?
the vagaries of live radio, isn't it? Everyone suddenly gets interested and goes and finds the information, which is brilliant, the fact that we can do all of that, that all of this is pretty much at our fingertips, and we're really, really lucky to be able to have all this information to use.
That's why the change is happening now, Bob, not 20 years ago, dude.
Isn't it? That's exactly it. I was reading something a little while ago that last year there was 5,000 times more information, new information, because of the internet available to people, than that's 5,000 times more than all the information humanity's put together prior to that. How weird's that?
It's an amazing thing, this World Wide Web, really, and the amount of information and the amount of thought-provoking things. But I have found that a lot of people are just repeaters with information, though, since as well. But they always have been, you know. Just because you read something on the internet doesn't necessarily mean it's true or right. Or just because you see somebody saying something about somebody else on the internet, you know, you always need to go and check things out and don't just blindly copy and repeat what other people have posted or put up there, and always make sure you go and look at different resources, different sources, and respectable sources, and just don't always just take it, Google it, and think, yeah, that must be it, because it's not, is it?
You don't really know. It goes back to the old paradigm of don't listen to the gossips, doesn't it?
Yeah, check it.
I look at it a different way. I see Facebook as a different sort of tool. I see it as a different monster. Especially on the share button. If I see a bit of information that I know that one of my friends is into, I won't really read into it. I won't check the facts. I'll just kind of like post it into a said group. Here, guys, what do you think of this? Some more info for the junkies, the info junkies that love to read through and find the facts. You know, I haven't got the patience on a lot of subjects, but I do post on things that I'm not really so interested in, just so it spreads the word on some new information that's been brought to light. And just basically spreading it and getting people that are interested in it, having it put in front of them easier and quicker. That's what I use my Facebook for.
I'm very, very similar. I recently put a lot of posts into transition groups about Agenda 21 because I wanted to find out exactly what people really thought about it. And as we all know, Transition Towns is part of Agenda 21, and it sucked in a lot of really, really good, well-meaning people because they haven't thoroughly researched what they're being NLP'd into. And yeah, that achieved a lot of really interesting results just doing that.
Yeah, it's like letting the monster, using it to eat itself, you know. It's just spread the information, whether you're interested or not. You don't have got the time to check the facts, but if it raised an eyebrow with you and thought, wow, that's weird, bang it out, let somebody that may be interested in it maybe see it. Maybe it's no information to anybody and it will just disappear down the wall of weird information, but somebody might just pick up on that and say, that's the key that I needed to make my chain work, you know, and put all his thought. It might just be the key that somebody needs, so just keep sharing that information. If it's something that kind of like makes you think, wow, that's weird, bam, share it. Let somebody else that might be banging up on the information of that subject, but it might just be the missing link they're looking for, and it might have not got put in front of them if you didn't share it.
Yeah, it's always good to share good information, I think. I think I was probably thinking more about personal attacks that I've seen happen on people. I've seen people being accused of dogfighting and getting dogs to have for fighting, and this person keeps writing, I'm not into this, this isn't me, and this same photo of him is being passed around, and there's no evidence to back it up, but this same photo of this poor young man is being passed around the internet for years now, and he gets loads of comeback off of it. That's the sort of thing I was thinking about in my mind, really, when I was actually speaking earlier, but I wasn't probably very clear in explaining. But some things are obviously not true, though. I've seen things about expenses that aren't necessarily true, while I've seen other things that are true. I do think you have a certain amount of responsibility to look at what you are posting, though.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying there. Obviously, some things that... But, you know, I mean, if you read into an article picture interest and you read it, and the logic hits you kind of like, yeah, that sort of make, yeah, I can go with that from what I know. But then somebody might find that, or there's a key little sentence.
Well, it is. It's an amazing tool full of loads of useful information and lots of not so useful information. And it has helped the world to evolve, and it has helped in so much. We've become making people become more aware of the way the countries, the government works, the way the countries are run. I've learned so much even just Facebook. I get more news from my news feed on Facebook than what I'd ever do off the television or anywhere else. That's where I learn about things happening first.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm exactly the same. But then, I don't know, but what winds me up, this, and it's a gripe, it's a niggle in the back of my mind, is let's go back to the days, think back to what the marijuana marches and things like that, and the marches and the changes that happened in the 70s. And that was an uprising of people that the widest reach they had was their illegal radio setups with Truth Radios. And the other thing they'd have is pamphlets, and they'd print a load of flyers out, basically, and they'd have dedicated soldiers go out and give this information to people, and they'd have meetings and put, you know, and we've got all this information, and it's not really moving. Do you know what I mean? They managed more then with their pamphlets and the lack of information than we have now with all this information.
Maybe it's because a lot of people just stay sat indoors on the computer rather than going out there and meeting people and getting... You can't beat the physical, can you?
That's the thing. Aren't we just getting addicted to the info? And we're becoming information junkies, and we're all interested in so many different things that we're so locked in on the information and getting new information that we're not really acting and achieving.
From my own point of view, I have to disagree with that. It's because I was around in the 70s and doing stuff and being active then, I just find all this a massive bonus because I've got the various skills and experiences I learned then with all this added on. I mean, I can't really talk about people that are my kids' age, for instance, their early 20s, mid-20s, whereas they've always had this, and they didn't have the previous so much. And, you know, even newer kids now, I mean, they're totally involved in the IT age. There is no getting pamphlets printed, and they use that environment equally effectively, I think, because they can communicate with far more, way more instantly. And this is where a lot of the changes that are coming quite suddenly now, all the various things that happened, 2011, the Arab Spring and all that sort of thing, and that was all internet led.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. But I just still think that too many people are just apathetic to... It's like what Rick was saying on Sunday. If he had people put pleas out for a couple of dollar donation to a 50,000 Facebook group or something, and he got, I think it was $100 or $200 or something. He said it wasn't worth doing it. Yeah, just like, let me give you the money back. It didn't help. They was just trying to aim $2,000 or so. I don't know. But it's just people are there, they believe in it, they're listening to it, it's resonating with them, but they're not really saying, I want to be on the front line for this one. They're happy to just ride the wave of contentment, just having the knowledge.
They're probably flooded a bit as well, some people. Maybe they feel a bit overwhelmed with the fact that there is so many different things and causes or whatever that you can actually be involved with. But I do think, from my own community that I live in, there are a lot of people that get involved of all different ages in all sorts of different things, from the environment to culture to arts. You know, there are definitely people out there doing things. There's so many people that I know personally that are doing some amazing things. And I think you always have your doers and your not doers, don't you? And but even if you are just sat there and you are just passing information on, that there's nothing wrong with that. That's brilliant as well, because you probably could be passing it on to people who are doers. No, it doesn't. The more you do, the more energy you get, obviously, to be able to do more, and to more energy you get onto those, whatever it is you're concentrating on, whether it be the cannabis movement or an environmental movement. But they all do need people to be physically active in these groups.
But you're all missing the point. If there wasn't, if there wasn't an internet, there wouldn't be a Dark City Radio.
Well, there is that. I noticed your comment in the green room chat box, Lee. Younger kids, not newer. I did mean newer kids, specifically because the vast majority of people are still children. They don't, they're just newer, the more recent ones, because people will not accept responsibility for their own lives.
I love it.
That's just me in words, I think. I'm sick of the spells that we're held in with the words that are constructed by people who are supposed to represent us. And we need to deconstruct that and be very specific about using words that spell a different future.
I resonate with you there, definitely. I really do like my word magic, or deciphering word magic.
Yeah, it's just totally amazing. You know, very, very simple thing. And it's something that's been hidden from us. When it was discovered, they wouldn't educate people. They only allowed the clergy or various academics to have the knowledge of creating these spells. And quite frankly, the internet's opened this up, and specifically with open source software, for the whole planet to be able to create their own spells.
Yeah, to make amazing stuff. And just after, again, it just rang with me, just when you said about the open source software. And I always want to scream this every time, that people that say about open source and everything, it's not for yourself, you probably know this, but the death of open source was Bill Gates was the man that actually killed and created software for money. Every bit of software before Bill Gates decided to do his thing was open source. There was no, it was just no such thing as paying for software. Bill Gates invented that scenario.
Oh, I totally agree. And another interesting statistic about Bill Gates, he put $150 million into a fund to try and eradicate AIDS in Africa. Of course, that's all about vaccination in the end, so it's not about eradicating anything. But at the same time, he put $450 million into eradicating Linux. I mean, he failed abysmally, but it just goes to show that he feels that open source software now is more of a threat to, well, his profits, I guess, than AIDS is.
Yeah, it's a sick individual, that guy, mate. But he has changed the world. As sick as he may be, the guy's changed the world. You know, so you've got to not give, I'm not saying give him credit or anything, you've got to look at what he's done and how it's happened and why it's happened.
I think, you know, maybe has he changed the world, though? Wasn't the world going to change anyway? And it all would have happened, but without there being huge profits, had he not somehow cornered all the market, and he's still doing that. You know, he bought Skype. Now it's a medium that can easily be recorded and stored. Whereas before Microsoft had it, to get all the packets and line them up again after they'd been released was really difficult.
Lost for words on that one. It's just, I think he's definitely changed the world for the worse. personally, if he hadn't have existed or hadn't have taken the attack of software being paid for, obviously we might not have had the same kind of internet that we've got now, but it would have definitely evolved into something, maybe a multi-headed monster rather than the dual or triple-headed monster that we've got now.
Well, the thing about the internet, of course, it was created as a structure, not as the thought that it would happen, but the fact that it materialized is down to the military and governments. And they created excess resources in it, which have been used by everybody else. But the beauty of it, of course, as they fed it into all the corporations as well, is that they all need it to survive. And we as mankind don't need it to survive. We can do it anyway. If the internet goes, everything that is to do with the power structure on this planet will disappear.
I agree with you there, in a sense, but I don't agree with you in the fact that the internet will go, because if, say, okay, let's say the power goes out, all the power on the planet goes out, not through an EMF that knocks all the apparatus out, just basically the grid goes down, there's no more power generation by the government. So people are, there would still, an internet would grow back. Do you get what I mean? It would, people start setting up Wi-Fi hotspots, and it would just, the grid would come together where people, like what we're doing with the Dark City, but on an internet basis scale where everybody's linking their Wi-Fi to a different hotspot and creating a hotspot, and that will just expand and expand as far as it can go. And then the internet would be a completely different beast. That's what they don't want to happen. That's why they can't drop the internet, because it will just rebuild itself away from their control through their satellites.
Oh, I'm in total agreement with you there. I mean, I've got various bits of information about building local area networks, and quite frankly, if anyone has found anything interesting on the internet at all, they need to download it. Get it on your own hard drives. Get external hard drives. You can get huge ones now. Everyone needs to be doing this. And then when we have our own local area networks, we can feed it back out to everyone else again.
No, that's we think like that because we're old school. When it used to, the internet, when we first got on, it was download everything. Download the internet. Everything you found, you downloaded it. But now, obviously, people are just into their YouTube videos. They can watch it, absorb it, and forget it, you know?
Yeah, the problem with that, of course, is that everything that's now stored in clouds or that type of environment, when the commercial internet does eventually come down, along with, you know, corporate government, etc., then all those clouds would be lost. What we need to do is to build little databases of our own of stuff that we're interested in, so that when we combine again on local area networks, it's all freely available once more.
Yeah, I've got about 600 gigabytes or so of stored information on a hard drive there, just for when if it happens, I'll know how to build everything back up again on my own. I might need a few help with a few pals. That
I'm coming to live next door to you then.
I said I might need a bit of help from Robo to do the soldering.
I don't solder anymore. I make the PCBs and I put them on the circuit boards and put them in the oven. No more soldering iron anymore.
There you go. Every time we look at this, there's a reason why we're all connecting, and we all have absolutely vital skills to ensure that we have a future.
Yeah, it's exactly, and probably, I know it sounds drastic as such, but for the people that are sat in the room that have got their knowledge and they've actually looked into what happened, what would you do, preppers, you could call us in a sense. It might actually be possibly one of the best things to happen if it all went down. We're all there, happy as Larry, living our ideal lifestyles because they're too bothered about trying to get it back up again to interfere with us.
We did communicate before the internet, though, didn't we? That was quite a few people that networked together, and we got things done, we found things and stuff like that. I know it seems a lot easier now on the internet, but I don't think it's ever stopped. I mean, if the internet went down, I think it would just go back to that. We'd have to adjust a bit. We'd still do it without the internet.
People used to organise illegal parties without mobiles.
Yeah, big mad ones. I've been to a few of them, waiting at a petrol station for a phone call.
Yeah, that was how it was done, wasn't it?
Follow the guy in the green Sierra.
I used to get stuck in phone boxes because I couldn't push my way out of the door because the English telephone boxes weigh about 10 tonnes, so I used to get stuck inside them.
Oh, Robo, I can imagine that.
I wouldn't recommend
everyone then bring their mic back then because everyone's in stitches.
The big old-fashioned red phone book books. They were nice, those old phone booths.
No, they were nice if you got stuck in them. They stunk of pee.
Well, maybe round where you were, but they were lovely round here. There was one place I went to, and the locals used to put flowers in it and everything. It was beautiful.
I've seen that before in places out in the countryside and stuff, but not where I grew up in Croydon. They didn't have flowers in our photo booths. Not photo booths, I mean phone booths.
Well, isn't that something we can take a lesson from then? It's like guerrilla gardening, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
it proves that there's actually people that have got pride in their surroundings and their community, because that means somebody from the community is off the top of their head has gone, no, let's make the phone box prettier. And they've done it off their energy, they've put it in, they see to that mini little garden, and that's what the world needs. If everybody did that little bit to make the world nicer for everybody else.
And it stayed there. Sorry, I thought you'd finished, and I was just going to say, and the flowers stay in the phone booth, don't they? It's not like somebody puts them in there and then 10 minutes later somebody else has got them on their mantelpiece at home.
I was going to put in the final paragraph to that story, and that was that BT came along and decided for health and safety reasons they weren't to be there and took it all out.
Yeah, because I kept getting stuck in them.
I think he's talking about the flowers, Robo.
No, but it goes as well. It shows that people going past had a respect for the person that had the time and energy to do it, because otherwise they would have just trampled on them or nicked them to give to the missus or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it would be a much better place if everyone had that bit more pride and respect for the environment that they lived in. But you can see sometimes why people don't have so much when they're just piled on top of each other and they don't really see their neighbours so much anymore and they've got no money and they can see other people rolling around with loads and loads of money driving big cars. Well, you know, it just makes a lot of people very angry and it does make a lot of people feel that they've got the right to take things.
Yeah, but they're just looking at the TV the whole time. I mean, deep down, everyone knows what's right and wrong. Everyone knows it. And some people just totally ignore it and abuse everything.
I think that's
where it comes wrong. It's not that... there's an awful lot of really good people on this planet. An awful lot. And mostly they feel unsupported. Because the way that government works. It's about destroying community. It's about isolating people in their own homes, and they use the media to do that. And the media goes, hey, it's well dangerous out there, don't go out. And they say, hey, look, we've got a lot of good programs on TV, you watch it. And they say, you've got to go and earn a whole bunch of money because everything's getting more expensive and you don't have any time left for anything else. I mean, the whole thing is a robbery. It's about using your time working for them and leaving you with very little. If you're much more independent in your resources, in other words, you're able to grow food, which a lot of people can't, you don't need to spend as much time earning other stuff. If you're a little bit more creative and you can make things or repair things or change things into other stuff for people, you don't need to then spend that time working so that somebody else earns money out of you.
No, but I do think this society of them and us makes it a lot easier for people, whoever from one group to the other group, harm people in the other group. You're more like, when there's a divide like them and us, or rich and poor, or north and south, whatever divide you want to put it at, it makes the other people seem less human, less like you. And so it's easier to harm then, isn't it? It's easier to rob off somebody if you think that they don't like you, and if you think that they're prejudiced against you, and if you think that they're making your life a lot harder than what it could or should be.
I don't know. There
is no them and us.
No,
there
I know there isn't.
There is only we.
No,
there
I know.
There is only we.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what needs to be promoted, and that's what people need to realise and believe. Go on, Leah.
I agree with what you're saying there, but I just want to add a concept. So say if you was on your way home or on your way down the town, you all of a sudden you saw a bloke painted in pink, absolutely naked, running, going, down the middle of the road. You'd look at him in shock, and people would be looking, look at that nutter there. He's absolutely outrageously shocked at this bloke, right, wearing pink feathers out of his arse or whatever. Right, you'd be horrifiedly shocked, right? But why is it when somebody uses aggression or violence, we're not as shocked as that? We should educate that any kind of violence should be treated with absolute horror from a kid, from parents trying to, do you know what I mean? And then a whole generation will grow up thinking any kind of violence is absolutely horrific, and they won't do it.
Well, what do we have today?
I mean, my first thoughts were Mr. Blobby, and that kind of made me laugh. But going back to the other point, with kids, you don't need to use any form of violence at all. If you explain stuff well in their terms, and that doesn't mean using adult terminology, and they feel that you're, what's the best way to put it, showing empathy, or you have empathy, not showing it, you have empathy with how they're feeling, the relationship just blossoms. There's no need to use any form of abuse with kids at all.
I totally, totally agree. Raise two kids, or raising two kids, and just they know when I'm angry, when I'm upset. Don't need to kick their asses, even though they're late for bed. She's just on the way to bed now.
Well, hopefully you don't get angry. I mean, I've got three boys in their early 20s, mid-20s, and the relationship we have is just amazing.
I don't
compared to how most people are, either as an offspring of a parent or as a parent towards their kids.
No, I don't get angry. I get authoritative and very direct with the things. I've become an authority figure. I do, but I stand up and no. But I don't. I don't get angry. I'm inside, laughing inside, trying to think, how do I do this the best way?
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, obviously, if there's an imminent danger, you have to react. But often things can be explained, even quite complex, difficult situations like parents splitting up. If you take the kids and explain it, and they understand it and they appreciate it and blossom from it and learn from those mistakes, so that they don't happen in their lives in the future.
Yeah, it's just that, re-educate the because what's the I'm not being funny. I used to run bar crawls and things around here at Benidorm, and we saw the generations as the kids came for the new summer jobs, you know, they got stupider and stupider and stupider, to the fact of the point that there was absolutely no use employing them whatsoever. You know, you'd always get 20 people turn up and 10 of them were all right. Then it was 8. Then it turned down to 5. Then 20 people turned up. None of them. They were all thick. Just had no logic whatsoever. Just amazing what the country's producing at the minute.
But that's not down to the kids, though. The kids are still sponges. And if you take them on board, they will just soak up everything, but it's the right stuff then. So yeah. Education, in a lot of ways, is doing us a big favour.
It's programming, though, isn't it? It's not about education, really. It's about repetitive, and you can't grade kids of the same age, of the same talent, for the same thing. You know, some kids are good at one thing, some things are naturally good at others. As long as you can find what they should do, is try and find what they enjoy to do and direct them into that sort of different subjects with different kids, you know. But they'll come out of it doing something that they've loved all the way through their life, all the way through their schooling. They've got better at something that they've really enjoyed, and they go into a working career that's something that they enjoy. They've got to be a better worker.
Well, from my mind, I think education's about competition, not cooperation. And being able to show kids an environment where people do cooperate in order to achieve something that's really special, instead of saying, hey, look, you know, you've got to be the top of this, you need to be the top of that, you need all these results in order to go there, to do this, is just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and in them old Aboriginal tribes, what they used to do is they used to just watch the children as they were as they're growing up, and just by seeing what their natural talents are and what the children naturally did. Like, some of them would be really good at hunting, others would be really good at healing and looking after people, and others would be good at cooking, and they'd all find and develop their natural skills, and that's how it used to work for them. Which is a lot better system, really, isn't it? Because everyone's got their own talents and their own things that they can offer the world. And through the education system, we all lose what these talents are. And it's not until we get older that we actually rediscover what it is that we want to do and what our natural talents and natural abilities are.
Yeah, totally on you with that one. Absolutely. What we need, you know, the fault is in the state, isn't it? The state treats all of us like a commodity. We're a way of them being able to borrow money, and the final outcome of our lives is of no interest whatsoever, apart from it costs them a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, I saw a video. The education system's based on when the Industrial Revolution happened, and so everyone was sort of like being trained up to work in the factories or work in that kind of industrial environment, really. That's what it was based on, rather than people's natural talents.
I've only got a couple of minutes left, and I'd like to add this because we're on this subject for the listeners and the podcasters and people listening. If you haven't yet, check out Sir Ken Robinson, and look at his presentations that he's done. They're all on YouTube, they're all over the place, and it will really open your eyes if you've never heard of him before.
Maybe you could send Robo some links about that when the podcast's up, and he'll stick them underneath it.
I'm very familiar with that video. Excellent video. Yes, I'll put it on the podcast. Just leave it somehow. We've got 1 minute left.
Well, do you want to finish the show, Robo, soon as you started it? Seems like a good place to end.
No.
All right, well, I'll do it then.
That was a very precise answer. I think, Sarah, maybe you should do it.
Yeah, I've never really heard him be that decisive, actually, I don't think, before. But I'd just like to say thank you to everyone of the Dark City crew, to Lee, to Barry, to Robo, to Mark, to Sadama, to Bob, and to Joe, who's also in the room with us. And thank you to all the listeners. It's been, we've really enjoyed the show, and thank you.